Walking with God in 2024. Again, I put 2024, but this would go for any year because this is the word of God concerning what it means to walk with him. By way of reminder, reminders of what we studied at the beginning, starting in Genesis chapter 5, well, actually Genesis chapter 3, God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, expecting his people, his children, Adam and Eve, to walk with him, but they didn't. They were hiding from him. And in Genesis chapter 5, we read that God, that Enoch walked with God, and he was not because God took him. And from that, we understand that in order to walk with God, God must reveal himself to us. Amen. Indeed, Adam and Eve wouldn't have been able to walk with God at all had not God came walking in the garden to find them. And so from that, we learn that God reveals himself to us, and then it's our responsibility to walk with God. And we see that pattern all throughout the scriptures, and that's what I've been doing all of last month into this month. We'll probably go again next week if I don't stop and do a Valentine's message. We'll see. Amen. But this is walking with God in 2024. And I want to move entirely now to the New Testament and deal with some scriptures. As we've looked at the Old Testament, the people walk with God. Not only did they walk with God, but God told Abraham, walk before me and be perfect in Genesis chapter 17. So God expected Abraham to walk with him because God had revealed himself to Abraham. The same thing is new in the New Testament when it comes to walking with God. And we're going to look at that. First, I want to look at Acts chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas were preaching. And this is the account where Paul said to the man who was ill, who was lame, he said, stand upright on your feet. And the man got up, and these people thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods, and they began to want to sacrifice to them. And Paul said, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. He allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And so here we see that God allowed, here speaking of all nations, speaking of all the nations minus Israel, God allowed all the Gentile nations to walk in their own ways. Basically, that means to live the way they saw fit, to live without the revelation of God. And without the revelation of God, you're going to live any old kind of way you want to live. It happened then and it's happening now. You go out in the world and you see people that don't know God, and they live with all of their passions laid bare. Whatever they want, they do, be it legal, illegal, be it right, wrong. They're just going to live in their own ways. Well, he allowed all nations, these Gentile nations, to walk in their own ways for a time. But to Israel, God had revealed himself on Mount Sinai, verbally, but then also orally, rather, and then in writing, because he gave them the Ten Commandments. So he allowed them to these nations to go on without specific revelation from himself. All this changed with the gospel, as the disciples were commanded to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. There was a time when God allowed people to walk in every way they wanted to, but then with the coming of Christ and the full revelation of God, Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world, make the gospel known to everyone, right? So he was calling the nations no longer to walk in their own ways, but to walk as they had come to the revelation of God. And we see that in the book of Romans as it pertains to the Christians in that day and believers in that day and believers now. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin? Now, Here is the pattern that we see. The pattern of revelation in the Old Testament is in the New Testament. Same pattern. Paul now is speaking revelation, because he's saying, for all of those who did not know, and people did not know it until Paul said it here, how shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? What do you mean we died to sin? Or do you not know? He was an apostle to the Gentiles, but he was giving the revelation of God as God has given it to him. He said, listen, when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death. Just as we go down into the water and we're baptized into his death. Therefore, because of this revelation, because of what happened to you, now you knew that this happened to you, that you were buried in baptism. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, because all of what God has done has now been revealed to us. Paul says this, we should also walk in newness of life. So revelation first, and then Paul says, okay, this is how you then live. This is how you walk. This is how you carry on your life. This is how you deport yourself, comport yourself. This is how you live. This is how you walk before God. So imagine that. Paul even saying that Christ died, Christ in his earthly ministry, he lived to a certain point and then he died. And he rose again. Christ was different when he rose again. When he rose again, he would never die again. When he rose again, he was not subject to sin. He was not subject to the things of this earth. And so he's likening us to dying with Christ. And like when Christ rose from the dead by the power of the Father, Christ walked differently. He lived differently. He walked through walls. Okay, even so, we should walk in newness of life. I'm not saying we're going to walk the walk. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we should live a radically different life by the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So the believers in the Old Testament were given a revelation of God and could have walked with God. However, we are given the fullest revelation of God through Christ Jesus. So if anyone should walk with God, We should. Why? Because God has made the way accessible. God has given us everything we need to live and to walk in newness of life. So as Jesus was made alive again by the power of God, so too we have been made alive spiritually and eventually physically by the power of God. Therefore, we should live in the life of God instead of our own sinful ways. He goes on to say in Romans 6:10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise. So what Paul just said about Jesus, again, that's revelatory. He's causing us to know all over again. He died unto sin once and for all, but the life that he now lives, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And that word lust does not only mean sexually. You can lust for money, you can lust for power, you can lust for all kinds of things, right? All right, I'm trying to get to the book of Ephesians because that's where we left off last week and where Paul, interestingly, uses this word walk of how to comport yourself over and over again in the book of Ephesians. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Paul says this, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So we are to walk properly. How are we to walk properly? Well, before we walk properly, the scripture says that we are not of the night, but we are of the day. Paul again is letting us know that we have been changed. He says in verse 12, he says, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly. He said, let us put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of light is synonymous with putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5, right? So Paul tells us how we are to live properly as in the day. All of these words, awake, he mentions awake, day, light. They're all metaphors of our new life with Christ. And so walking with God is always predicated upon revelation from God. Always. One cannot walk with God unless he reveals himself to them. Now, however, all of these things, all of these must be chosen, which is why we are told to put off the works of darkness. This scripture, we're told to awake out of sleep. We're told to not walk in darkness, but in the light of the day. We're told to put on the armor of light. The New Testament makes it, the NIV makes it even more clear when it says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness or excess, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the sinful nature. Do not think about how to gratify the sinful nature. So, we're to put on the armor of light, the scripture says. We're to wake up, right? And to wake up, one has to get up in order to stay up, right? It's one thing to wake up, but if you stay in bed, guess what's going to happen? In order to wake up, one has to get up in order to stay up. And so living in the light, walking in the light of God's word, walking in the light of his revelation to us is what it means to walk with God and to walk properly. On to the book of Ephesians. I'm just going through instances in the New Testament where Paul mentions what it means to walk, to live the life that God has revealed himself to us to live. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Now, this is interesting because I don't know if you've heard my teaching on the book of Ephesians on the first three chapters. It tells us to do nothing in the first three chapters of Ephesians. It's all revelation. Paul is laying out from Ephesians 1 to Ephesians 3. He's laying out everything God has done for us. For instance, Ephesians 1:3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4 says this, in whom we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Paul is laying out all that God has done for three chapters long to the Ephesians. And chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul then says, based upon what God has done, based upon what I've just revealed to you, chapter 4, he starts right away. He starts asking, telling us how we ought to respond. And this is the first verse of chapter 4. He says, I therefore. Therefore what? Go back and read chapters 1, 2, and 3. You'll understand perfectly. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Live in such a way as to fulfill the call that God put upon your life when he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God called us out of darkness. And so the prior verses, we're not to walk in darkness. I'm sorry, but churches that say, you know, living particular lifestyles is okay, and the Bible says no, the New Testament says no, I'm sorry, but that's not going to cut it. That's not walking worthy of the calling. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are children of light now, children of the day. We are to live differently. I know there are plenty of churches that walk different ways, but that's not what the scripture says. Paul says here, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Where do we see that in churches? With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so here again, we see the pattern of revelation and walking with God. God called all of us in revealing himself to us. That's how the call came. We're called through the gospel. When the gospel is preached, Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So when the gospel is preached, Christ is revealed. Christ is revealed. That's why when we heard the gospel, we were able later, as we received him, we're able to walk with God. 1 Corinthians 1:2. You'll see the pattern. The call was so effective in revealing God that we began to walk with God. Paul said, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so we see here that you and I were called by God to be saints. But also we see after that, that we then began to call upon the name of the Lord. Everyone who is called by God will call on God. It's the pattern in the New Testament. God is, he said, I'm the first and the last. If God don't move, we can't. If God doesn't save us, we can't be saved. Jeremiah 17 says, save me, O Lord, and I shall be saved. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. But Lord, you've got to do it because I can't. And so God called us. How did he call us? He called us by revealing himself to us. We see the pattern again in Colossians chapter 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord. What happens for us to walk worthy of the Lord? Well, we're filled. This is revelatory. This is revelation again. This is spiritual understanding. We are filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And if God doesn't do that, we can't walk worthy of the Lord. So God is constantly revealing himself. I got to turn off this heat. I'm about to burn up. Okay. So God is constantly revealing himself to us. Yeah, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. He's constantly revealing himself to us. Why? So that we might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him. Pleasing him. This life that he's given us, let me tell you how it goes good for us when we please him. I think it's Proverbs that says the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. Try it. Yeah. It's hard. No, that we might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See that increasing? That's an ongoing process. Peter prayed. He said this, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not that you meet him 40 years ago and then that's the end of it. No, no. He's constantly revealing himself to us through his word and by his spirit. So increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. The Bible says that God will strengthen us with all might and his power for all patience and long suffering with joy. You say, I'm sorry, I can't go through this anymore. God, please hit me a little bit. Can't do this. Read this scripture right here. Read it. He will strengthen us with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy. Some things you pray for years, for decades. Some things you pray for all your life, but never see it happen. But those prayers are still before God. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. So here, there's the same pattern. Revelation and then our responsibility, man's responsibility, is to walk with God based upon the revelation that he has given of himself. Here we see Paul praying that the believers would respond to the revelation of God. In other words, he didn't see walking worthy of the Lord as automatic. He was praying for these saints, that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? So that they would walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him. That's the case with us. Amen. As we give ourselves to the word of God, how many times I've been saved now for 83, I've been saved for 40, is it 40 years now? And the Bible, every time I pick it up, it's still brand new. It's like, I'm like, haven't I read this before? God's still speaking, uncovering layers, just causing you to see, causing you to understand his heart, his ways, revealing himself through his word. Paul goes on in chapter 4, in Ephesians 4, further down. He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. You should not live the way the rest of the Gentiles are living. So walking with God, we're talking about living with God. We're talking walking before God. The title of this series. He says, because the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Unsafe people are walking in the dark. Jesus said, the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. These people, they have no understanding of God, just like you and I. We were unsafe. We had no understanding of God. We had no understanding of his ways. Being alienated from the life of God, alienated. Like a totally different being, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Their hearts are dark. They have no understanding. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So here we have Paul in the New Testament saying what God told the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Because Jesus, Israel was not to live in the manner of the nations around them. So the church of God, who has the revelation of God, is not supposed to live like those who do not know God. When you listen, church, when you read Romans chapter 1, you understand that homosexuality and lesbianism is a judgment from God. Judgment. It says, therefore, God gave them over because they did not want to retain the knowledge of God in their thoughts. God gave them over. We're sitting up here telling people, we're telling people that's a sin. Yes, a sin, but it's also a judgment in this world, wanting to retain God in their knowledge. Christians are not supposed to live the way unbelievers live. We have people today saying, well, no, it's okay. It's okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay. So, now, all that being said, it doesn't mean that we belittle or denigrate people who live that way. Right? Because we still want them to see the power of the gospel through the love of Christ. But look at Leviticus chapter 18. He says, do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. He says, do not defile yourselves, just like Paul says here, do not live, do not walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Do not walk the way all those people who do not know God walk. Do not defile yourselves like all these other nations that don't know God, and I'm casting them out of the land before you. Don't live that way. Now, you know, Christians like to harp on homosexuality, which comes from Leviticus 18. But in Leviticus 18, there's a whole host of sins that heterosexuals give themselves to that God says, don't live this way. Right? So unbelievers live the way they do because they do not know God. They're ignorant of God. Their hearts can't see God. This is why they're living according to the flesh. Believers should not live as unbelievers do. Believers should not live as unbelievers do. Said Paul, all in the book of Ephesians. But lest we think that walking with God is all about what you're not to do, let's look at this. Therefore, Ephesians 5, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Walk in love. Live a lifestyle of love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So walking with God is not limited to what we are not to do, but it's also what we are to give ourselves to. So walking with love, living in a lifestyle of love, is what it means to walk with God, for God is love. 1 John 3 tells us. Now, this confirms what Jesus taught in John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what Paul teaches. He says, as Christ loved us and has given himself for us, we are to love one another. Right? As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. So we're to be imitators of God and walk in love as dear children, the scripture says. We're to love one another the way Christ loved us. That means sacrificially. That starts at home. That starts with husband and wife. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And he learns what it means to sacrifice for her. As believers, we have been forgiven freely. We see this. We have been forgiven freely by Christ. Therefore, we are to walk or live a life of forgiveness regarding the brethren. There should be no unsettled unforgiveness between brethren as we walk with God and as we walk before God. Not only are we to love one another, but Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, but I say to you who hear, same word, agapeo. Same word as Jesus used it in John 15. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Jesus demonstrated this throughout his life, and especially on the cross, when Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died in Barabbas' place. Though he was innocent, and though Barabbas was guilty. Luke chapter 10, one of the teachers came up to Jesus and said, what must I do to him? What is the greatest of the commandments? And Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, and the second is like unto it. and that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But the Bible says that man wanting to justify himself asked Jesus and said, who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? If I'm to love my neighbor as myself, who is my neighbor? And Jesus did a remarkable thing. Jesus used an irreligious man to illustrate the love that one should have for his neighbor. Because he told the story of the Good Samaritan and how the priest didn't care for the one who was injured, how the Levite didn't care for the one who was injured. Two religious men, they didn't do what was required of them. The Old Testament, if you know your Old Testament, the scripture says, if you see your neighbor's donkey falling into a ditch, it says you shall not walk away and play like you didn't see it. You shall surely help your neighbor get his donkey up out of the ditch. It was required in the law. You help one another. How much more so under grace? And so this is not a man's donkey that's hurt. This is a man himself who's been beat down, and it was the Good Samaritan. It was the Samaritan who went and ministered to him and provided everything he needed. And then at the end of the parable, Jesus said, which one of these was a neighbor to this man? And he said, the one who took care of him. He said, okay, go and do likewise. That's what it means to walk in love. We all have people around us that we can walk in love towards, right? The world's full of them. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He didn't say you're in the light. He says you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul here is again revealing the power of God. He says, you were once darkness, but let me tell you what God did. He called you out of darkness into his light. And if he hadn't called us out of darkness into light, well, there's no way we could make it to the light. We didn't even know the light existed. So he reveals God has made you light, children of light. Then what does he say? He said, well, because of what God has done. What I've revealed to you, God has done. Your responsibility is to choose to walk as children of light. Walk as children. How so? Well, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what it means to walk in the light. Walk in goodness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Righteousness. Walk in the truth. I'm telling you what, truth is hard to come by these days. Everybody in politics line up a storm. I can barely watch the news. He says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord or what is pleasing to the Lord. If we walk in goodness, righteousness, and truth, we will find out, we will prove what is pleasing to the Lord. And he says, he goes on and says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So the darkness represents our condition, our past condition in the world. But since God has revealed himself to us, we are now light in the world. We're now light. So our response to that revelation should be to live, walk, carry ourselves as children of light, revealing the goodness, righteousness, and truth of God and pleasing the Lord. Having known a life of darkness, we know it no more, but expose it by walking in the light, living in the light. And as I said, you know, the day may come where just living in the light will get you in trouble, where living in the light will get you persecuted. If that be the case, well, trust God. One more in the book of Ephesians. Paul says, you can go read these for yourselves. In Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means exactly or accurately. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So there's a way that we are to walk. Again, how do we know the way we are to walk? Well, because God has revealed himself to us. And based upon that revelation, we walk to please him. That's how we walk circumspectly. We walk accurately. We walk exactly. Colossians says it this way in Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Walk in wisdom. In other words, walking wisely before unbelievers is beneficial toward them. Why? Because as children of light, when we walk, when we live as we ought to, the unsaved see a difference in your life. Have you ever had someone come up and say to you, you know, what's different about you? Why do you live that way? What, have you ever had someone say that? I have. Because we are children of light. Someone, you know, people cuss, they always say to you, I'm sorry. I know you don't cuss, but why do they say that? Because they recognize there's something different about you. Now, if you cuss just as bad as everyone else, that'd be a problem. I mean, Also, to live or walk foolishly is to waste time that can never be regained. Paul said, walk circumspectly or walk in wisdom, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. And when I read that, the first thing I thought about was, you remember when Elisha healed Naaman the leper, and Naaman offered him some money, and Elisha said, I won't have anything. And Naaman urged him, pressured him to take something. Elisha said, no, I'm not having anything. Well, Gehazi ran after Naaman and said, well, Elisha didn't take anything, but I'm going to take a little something. And the scripture says, Elisha said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? And Elisha asked Gehazi, I said, is it time to receive money? Which he was offered. Elisha was offered money. He said, is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Is this a time to get for yourself, Gehazi? We remember that Gehazi lied in order to get the silver and the clothing that he was given. He had an eye on riches instead of following the example of Elisha, who glorified the Lord and would receive nothing from man for doing so. And so Gehazi wasn't walking, but he wasn't walking right before the Lord. And what we learn from Gehazi is this: if you have to lie to get it, it's not time for you to have it. If you have to lie and cheat and steal, bribe and commit fraud and do all these things. If you have to do all that in order to get it, it's not time for you to have it. So Paul said, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And verse 18 says, therefore, do not be unwise. Back to the revelation of God. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is in any given situation. Most situations that we find ourselves living in, the will of the Lord is presented to us. We know what we ought to do. The question is, will we walk with God? Will we choose the ways of God? The revelation of God comes to us through scriptures and by his spirit. Let us understand what the will of the Lord is and walk with him regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost. Amen? All right. Who wants to close us in prayer? Y'all hear me? I'm preaching to myself. I just want to mention. Okay, nope. Bill, amen. Go ahead.
Yes, Father.
Yes.
The Son. And Son.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Help us.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. In the name of Jesus. My, my, my. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, have your way. Lord, we, amen, amen, amen. Pastor Bill, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. I feel the glory falling as our brother was praying. Is there anything else we need to hear before we leave this place? Amen, amen. All right, then. God bless you. Thank you for coming to church today. We'll be here next week. We'll be on Tuesday evening as well. Until then. May the Lord keep you. Bye-bye now.
Thanks so much.